Hello, I'm Martin Kelly, senior editor of Fringe Journal, and this month's issue is on activists versus mystics versus pragmatists. And I'm here with Jeff Perkins, who has an article in this issue that is Main Street Activism, and talking about the strange bedfellows of activism and mainstream finances. And Jeff is executive director of Friends Fiduciary Corporation. So thanks for coming on board here with us, Jeff.
Thank you, Martin.
And your article talks about some of the things that happens behind closed doors, socially responsible investors who want to make a difference and do some social change. And you talk specifically about PNC Bank and their work around mountaintop coal removal. So talk a little bit of how that campaign looks from your end.
Sure. Well, Friends Fiduciary is a Quaker organization that manages investments for other Quaker organizations following Quaker values. So all of our work is grounded in Quaker values, the values of our constituents, and we seek to embody that in the stewardship of the financial resources that we manage on their behalf. So it starts from there. And in part because of that, we find ourselves working with a number of other faith-based institutional investors. We're part of a group, the Interfaith Coalition for Corporate Responsibility in New York. They were very involved in the divestment movement of South Africa a number of years back, and have been working on issues including climate change now for 20 plus years. And much of our work is done in concert with other faith-based and socially responsible investors. So with the PNC engagement, we worked with several Catholic women's religious groups, as well as a for-profit socially responsible investment management group as well.
So how does an issue rise up to become one that these groups want to sort of make a balance between the social activism and creating wealth?
Sure. Well, in the case of PNC, it initially arose specifically around mountaintop removal coal mining, but really was in the broader context of concerns around climate change. And this is one area where Quakers, Friends have had concerns for a number of years, and we actually have that as a particular focus of ours at Friends Fiduciary in order to reflect those concerns of our constituents. So the engagement with PNC was a natural. As is noted in the article, the Earth Quaker Action Team had also identified PNC as a group that they wanted to engage for their own particular reasons, but also to address their financing of mountaintop removal, and being one of the largest banks that were doing that. To get back to your question, the emphasis for shareholder engagement really is driven by the investors. So there was a particular group of us that were concerned around climate change, mountaintop removal, and with PNC in particular. And we happen to hold stock in PNC. And we work only at Friends Fiduciary. We engage only with companies in which we have an ownership interest. We don't go out and buy the minimal amount of shares to do shareholder advocacy work. We don't have the staff to do that. And from a Quaker perspective, we think there's great integrity in entering into an engagement with the company with interests aligned. We have a vested interest in the success of the companies that we invest in, and we want them to be successful. Want them to do that in a socially responsible manner. And so we really see our interests aligned when we engage with companies, ways to help them understand investor concerns around issues like reputational risk, climate risk in their operations, that sort of thing.
Do you sort of, one of the things you said sort of, I guess, more towards the end was talking about how PNC should probably be moving beyond this kind of work anyway. Do you sort of think that maybe Friends are kind of identifying, you know, where a group like PNC Bank should be 20 years from now and kind of helping them get there? Is that sort of part of what you're doing?
Well, I think that in this particular instance, there were several groups, the activist group as well as investor groups, looking at PNC's business. Understanding where they came from, they have a very large footprint in the coal regions of this country down in Appalachia and southwestern Pennsylvania, and that continually came up in our engagements with them because they have a large client base that was dependent upon coal, the business of coal. At the same time, they were touting themselves as a green bank. Like a number of banks in particular, they were focusing on their bricks and mortar operations, so their branches. They were saying, we're doing this great work around making the branches sustainable. Well, that's such a small part of their economic operations. Their real business is lending. And part of what the investor group focused on, and this evolved over our four-year engagement with them. Initially, the focus was primarily on mountaintop removal, but quickly extended to what we call financed emissions, or what's the greenhouse gas emissions impact of the industries and businesses that they're financing? What's the impact of the loans they're making on climate change? And how are they assessing that potential climate risk in their lending portfolio as well as in their investment portfolio?
Sure. And how does the sort of, when you're talking with them, you say that there's this kind of delicate balance, I think you describe it as, you cajole them sometimes, you're pressuring them sometimes, you're working with them sometimes. How do you sort of decide which sort of hat to have, you know, good cop, bad cop, cajoling versus pressuring in any instance?
Well, that there's strategy involved in that, and there's also as much art as science. One of the advantages in working with an investor group on these issues is we can strategize about our approach in advance of meetings with company management, and we do that. Typically, we're meeting 2 to 3 times before any engagement call. And that's important, Martin, because in order to be taken seriously by the companies, you have to understand their business. You have to have a clear business sense, and you have to be able to balance the business economic issues with the social issues that you're trying to also bring into the conversation. And in that way, And I tried to get at this somewhat in the article, that there's almost two channels. There's the activist channel, which is so important in terms of putting a pressure, very kind of overt pressure on companies. There are also these, not exactly back channels, but a different channel that is trying to work within the company structure and management to affect change. And sometimes that involves just empowering and supporting and giving information to people within the company who want to see the same change that we do. At other times, it is moving from a dialogue to filing a shareholder resolution, which generally companies don't like to have resolutions put forward by shareholders that make it to the proxy. And it's almost a given that when a socially responsible shareholder like Friends Fiduciary or others file shareholder resolutions, typically the automatic company response is to challenge that at the SEC or the Securities and Exchange Commission, which has the ability to kick out, to exclude shareholder proposals from the proxy. And in fact, that happened with our proposal with PNC in 2012, our initial proposal, which actually focused on financed emissions and stated that in the resolve clause of the proposal. That was new language. And while the SEC had said that shareholders had interest in sustainability, they hadn't specifically called out climate risk as a compelling enough interest for shareholders. And the SEC actually ruled to include our proposal, which we co-filed with other socially responsible investors. They included that on the proxy, which was somewhat of a significant step forward and sent a message to the banks, not only PNC, but all the banks, that climate risk is a significant risk from an investor standpoint, and shareholders can ask questions about how the company is managing that risk.
So it's sort of like a precedent that was set, and
yes,
you
yes.
can sort of build on it for future campaigns.
Absolutely. It created quite a stir in our SRI world, and questions about how strong of a precedent is it, et cetera, but certainly was a significant step forward.
Super. I guess we have time for maybe one more question. I'm sort of curious how, what sort of advice you might have for people who are, you know, sort of college age and they are thinking about careers. And your article sort of reminded me of my old sort of college chums, and you know, we were all activists, and I probably went into the activist channel more than the rest. Some of the others are teaching chemistry at Ivy League colleges. One went into energy policy in Eastern Europe, and I tried to read a paper of hers. I can't understand it all, but they can speak the language, you know, of the banks, and you said how important that is. For me, I wouldn't be able to, you know, follow through any of that. So how important is it for, you know, people who have a concern of activism to go into careers where they can speak the language and be part of that world as well?
Well, as someone who's made that transition, I think it's very important. I had an activist past as well, even while I worked in the corporate sector. And I do think that perspective helps in my work today in talking with companies. I understand where companies come from. I understand what motivates them, how they operate, how they prioritize. And I think that's very important in trying to work for change. Throughout this process with PNC, not only was Friends Fiduciary and me engaging with the company, we also were engaging with EQUATE, the Earth Quicker Action Team, as well as other nonprofits that were looking to affect change with PNC. But to circle back to your question, Martin, I think there are a number of areas where young people can get involved increasingly. And in fact, one of the important results out of this work with PNC was they agreed to hire an environmental and social risk officer, first time at the organization. That's part of the long-term change we see that is important out of the investor engagement with PNC. That's one thing that we were encouraging them to do. So there's a whole new opportunity set of careers for young people who want to get into environmental concerns, environmental issues within companies. Because ultimately, in our current society, corporations play an outsized role, and it's important that they be responsible in fulfilling that role within our society. And that happens when there are people of integrity and good intent and and with the right values in those companies. And there are many people in the companies now that have those values. As I noted, part of our role is to try and empower them to work within their existing systems. And that often happens with sustainability officers. We will oftentimes try and elevate their role within the organization. We'll say, we think it's important that the board hear from their sustainability staff on a regular basis. Hopefully that answers the question. I went off a tangent there.
No, it does. And it sort of brings us back around to how you said strange bedfellows with a question mark in the it's not just between, you know, the activists and socially responsible investors within Quakers, but strange bedfellows perhaps within corporations too, that there's a whole dance here.
Yes, on many indeed. Levels.
So this is the June-July issue, and the issue is on activists versus mystics versus pragmatists, with the subtext being maybe these aren't verses, that these are, again, another type of dance that we do. And June, July, French Journal, and we'll have a link to Jeff's article, and again, and also to Friends Fiduciary Corporation. So thanks for writing this, Jeff, and thanks for coming on the video chat here with us.
Thank you for having me, Martin.
Okay, take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.